parent can lead his child toward real conviction. We need to learn to move our children through prayer.
Missionary Jim Elliot said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." What sacrifices are you and I willing to make for what we believe? Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, calling us to put our plans in the hands of our loving Heavenly Father. Here's Elizabeth.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you today for the last time on the subject of going back to school. I've been trying to encourage children to realize that school is important to them, and therefore it's important to God, and that God wants to go with them to school and enter in to their joys and sorrows and fears and triumphs. And I've been trying to encourage parents to let their children go in the measure in which it's appropriate to let our children go at each stage of their lives. And when they go to school, it certainly is a watershed, isn't it? An emotional watershed for both the parents and the children, because you are relinquishing that child who has been under your more or less total control into the control and the hands of other people. And I want to say that it seems to me parents should aim at teaching their children their own views. Of course, it's of tremendous importance that we should share with our children the rock on which our faith rests and teach them the scriptures and talk with them as you walk by the way and as you lie down and as you sit down in your house and as you rise up, as it says in Deuteronomy. The parents of the children of Israel were to take advantage of every possible way in which they could be imparting to their children the faith that God had given to them. But there's a difference between leading your child toward real conviction and insisting on their submission to your views. Now, I'm speaking about older children here. I'm not speaking about little ones. But when a child becomes an adult, which has got to be very shortly after the age of 12, perhaps the age of 12 is the watershed, but when they get into their teens, it is natural, it is right and proper that they should begin to examine the things which they have been taught all these 12 or 14 years. They should question, is this true? What is the basis on which my parents' faith rests? Is it an adequate basis for my faith? And a parent can and should lead his child toward the convictions that he himself holds, that the parents themselves hold. But a parent should not demand submission to their views. Now, that's a different thing from submission to obedience. As long as the child lives in your home, then the child must be submissive to the rules of that home. Just this past week, I had the privilege of having a lunch with Dr. Hudson Armerding and his wife. He was the president of Wheaton College. And we were talking about the standards of Wheaton College, and I was asking the question, have they changed? What do you think of Wheaton as a school now? And we were discussing the difficulty of maintaining the distinctives of a Christian college in a secular world. And Dr. Armerding said, I've always thought of Wheaton as being a sort of a microcosm of the evangelical world. So wherever the evangelicals are, this is more or less where we are going to find Wheaton College. And there still is a set of rules. And it always has irritated me when I was a student at Wheaton College, as well as since then as an alumna who does follow the alumni magazine. It irritates me when I hear of students who go to a college that has strict standards and requires that they sign a pledge, that some students will choose a college like that and then break the pledge. As I said to Dr. Armerding, I think Wheaton College has a right to require their students to wear purple socks if they want to. And if a student does not want to wear purple socks, they don't have to go to Wheaton College. Now, if anybody's just tuned in, don't get the idea that Wheaton College requires their students to wear purple socks. But Wheaton College does require their students to do and not to do certain things that some Christians would disagree with. And I would say, if you disagree, then you don't go to that college. Well, a child in a Christian home doesn't have the choice of being a child in that Christian home or not being a child in that Christian home until the point where he makes the clear break and decides to leave his parents' home. And maybe he's leaving because he wants to do his own thing, as the prodigal son did. And he went out and wasted his substance in riotous living. And it wasn't until he was eating pig's food that he made up his mind to come back again. What can a parent do? A parent can lead his child toward real conviction. He cannot demand submission to the parent's convictions. We need to learn to move our children through prayer when they become adults. We are responsible to give a patient and deferential hearing of our children's views when they reach this age. Let's be free to admit the difficulties of our faith, the things that they are struggling with, that they're up against in school. And this will help them to develop a mind free from impatience and irritation. If we show impatience and irritation, an unwillingness to listen to their questions and to admit the difficulties, then we are setting an example in which they will become impatient and irritated with us. Give them time. Give them attention. Is your child a know-it-all? A lot of them are, aren't they? It's characteristic of teenage that they reach a point where they think they know more than their parents. And truth is, they do know more about some things than their parents. We've all been put to shame by the kids even under teenage that can beat us at computers and computer games and things like that. I've never tried a computer game, but I was put to shame when I was trying to learn how to use a computer at the realization that my 10-year-old nephew knew much more about it than I did. But they don't know it all. However, think about this one. Isn't it better that your child should be a know-it-all than that he should fall in with anything you say just because you say it? Mental laziness or fear may lead him to do that. Or worse, he may be pretending an impartiality which allows no views at all. If everything you think is fine for you and there's no such thing as absolute truth, then no views at all are permitted, which obliterates the line between right and wrong. That seems to me to be a more serious thing than a child who knows it all. Some children are too submissive, and they may be no trouble to us now, but much trouble later on. Because if they will accept without any question whatsoever, without a conscious assessment and reasoning of the things that we say to them, then they may accept anything that comes along. Minds like that are likely to be ultimately absorbed by the world. God won't get any love from them, and God won't get any service. It's mere indifference. Now, where do we draw the lines? Would you like me to tell you exactly where to draw the lines? Well, of course I can't do that. We need the wisdom of God. Prayer at every juncture. Prayer every day for your child. Prayer before every confrontation or even every conversation. Prayer during and after. And a gradual relinquishing of your child to the care of him who loves him more than you do. Don't ever forget that God does love your child much more than you do. Janet Erskine Stewart's definition of grace is the self-giving of God to us, His loved creatures. Can you commit your child to that infinite grace in love and trust? It was grace in the prodigal's father that gave him the inheritance on demand. It was grace that let go of him. It was grace that waited in patient love for his return and his repentance. The son's return was an indication that he was ready to receive the father's grace. The father could not make him willing. He could only pray and wait and love. Maybe I'm talking to some parents out there who are in this very difficult, deep valley where all they can do is pray and wait and love. But the Bible says there is no fear in love. Suffering, yes. Fear, no. Love can rest in the fullest trust, hands off. The prayer of the parents is first a relinquishing of self, a total opening of their own souls to God, and then an obedient relinquishing of the child that God has given them back into His hands and His care. And it's been my experience that the more I know and love God, the quieter I can be before the mysteries of His providence. May God give you quietness as you rear your child, guide your child, and turn him over, finally, as an adult, into God's hands.
As Elizabeth has said, anything if offered to God can and will become your gateway to joy. Elizabeth Elliott has been sharing timeless truth with ladies for many years, drawing insight from her Bible study and her experiences as a wife, mother, and missionary. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network, Charlotte, North Carolina.